Welcome back, WNST, Tassel Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively in one of the great Baltimore places with one of the great, not born in Baltimore, but a Baltimorean by choice. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play, giving away some Raven scratch-offs here before it's all over with our friends at Goodwill. Reminding everybody, if you're cleaning out the closet, make sure you're taking care of them. Certainly some shopping as well. And our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 0% financing. I still haven't paid for the ticket to Baltimore, You Have No Idea, which was one of the best local productions I've ever seen. And Dan Rodericks, you're here at Fadley's on a cold morning in Baltimore. Before we even put you on the air, you're a reporter. You had your reporter jacket on, new Lexington Market, the old, like, this city never stops changing. But, man, you made me cry three times last weekend. You made me laugh. You've made me make my own list of malaprops that I'm working on for you. I love you. How are you? It's good to see you, brother.
The love is mutual. Nice to see you, and thank you for the kind things you've said about the play.
Well, let's talk about the play a little bit.
You will have to buy a ticket, I think. I didn't know you...
Visa, MasterCard.
I didn't know you hadn't purchased the ticket. I assumed you would, but, you know... We can talk about... Just kidding. You got tickets. We had some people who said they couldn't come because of COVID. We had several COVID people.
Everybody in my life is, I mean, the last, I've had three appointments this week canceled because of COVID.
So these kind people said, didn't ask for a refund. They just said, please give my ticket. The shows are sold out. Please give my ticket to someone who wants to come in. So you benefited from someone else's illness.
My story is this. I saw you promoting this thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was. So I'm just going to give you.
You know it was a play.
Yes, I knew it was a stage play.
Yeah.
I thought it was a one-man show. I didn't do any research on it, but I almost bought it. I had the thing up to buy a ticket, and I thought, do I want to go Friday or Saturday? It had to do with my wife. And then my wife got sick as a dog.
Oh.
Not COVID, but like in bed for 4 or 5 days.
Oh.
And I never purchased, but you were supposed to come do my show at Pappas, and you had jury duty.
Yeah, what a trip that was.
So my whole jam, Dan, was to have you out, have you tell me what in the world you were doing.
Right.
And that never happened. So then my wife got sick, and then blah, 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 the Ravens started losing. And then that Friday afternoon, my wife was feeling a little bit better. She had worked on Wednesday and Thursday, and I just threw a flyer onto your Facebook. I'm like, you know what? I got a wild hair. It's 4:30. The show's in a cut. I feel like it's cold out, but like I want to go do this. And I knew you weren't doing it again. And I threw, and you threw, and then I'm in the second row, and I'm bawling like a baby, like what you did to me that night, you know?
Well, it was ups and downs. It was laughs and cries, laughs and tears.
Just start at the beginning. Yeah. Did Springsteen inspire you? I mean, what one-man show inspired this? Because something inspired
you. Yeah, I can tell you. So years ago, Eric Bogosian.
Oh, I love him.
Sex, Death, and Rock and Roll.
He would do the shows up at the center stage.
Yeah.
Oh, he was amazing with the griller. Yeah. Did you see that one?
He was. He did everything. He did all these voices. He did characters, and I thought he was amazing. And then I saw him in a movie called Talk Radio. Remember that?
I do. I have all of these on VHS. Yeah. I got to call Towson Transfers. Greg, I'm looking for you. But Bogosian stuff, I own it, and I won't. It's one of those VHS. I won't throw it away
because
it's that good.
He was really good. This is back in the 80s. We're talking about 80s.
When I worked at the paper,
early 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
So I interviewed him on WBAL radio once, and he came in with the man's all attitude, right? He comes in smoking cigarettes, and he's got this attitude, and he says, "Did you see my show?" I said, "No, I haven't seen your show yet." Okay, we'll just bullshit our way through it then. He thought I was going to BS through the interview, and actually I knew his stuff very well, and then I went to see his show afterwards. It ended up being a really good interview, and I examined him about how he developed these characters and what kind of help he had in developing them and determining whether it could stand up.
Pass, fail.
Yeah,
right, sure.
Because it wasn't stand-up comedy. It was stand-up
observations.
Well, he did characters, right? He did,
sure.
Like each segment was a one-man play, really, right?
Very much so, and mainly without props.
Yeah.
Like, it was very
He would do a British rock star. He would do a homeless guy. He would do a homeless guy who had a pet. He would do some mafia guy, some contractor with mafia connections, some Hollywood agent. He would slip in out of these characters. So I was always taken with that. And I saw George C. Scott do Clarence Darrow on stage, and I thought, you know, they're telling stories. I've got a million stories. I've written almost 6,500 columns for the Baltimore Sun. It's kind of ridiculous.
I haven't read them all, Dan.
No,
well, I only read about half.
Yeah, right.
Don Donaldo.
And I only remember a few of them. There's been so many. So I thought, I can do a one-man show. And then I thought, what if you did a one-man show, but when you're telling a story, a character appears on stage, the character that you're talking about? You know, appears and interacts with me, so that each... So you end up having 8 or 9 scenes in a play where I'm interacting with another actor instead of just doing it all one man. So
I didn't know nothing. Would you have told me this? What would you, if I had seen you at Pappas, and let's play Bogosian. Yeah, I'll come in. I could be Bogosian. So, and I love that it's Bogosian, that I have a real reference.
Yeah,
the thing I remember, I saw him a couple of times at Arena because I felt... driving nails into the ground with your forehead. Was that something like that? Was that
something
the name
like
of it?
That. Something
okay,
like
okay.
It,
yeah. And then the other one was Griller.
Yeah.
And this
Griller.
Was a, much like your show, but it had other people on stage.
Yeah.
And he was the angry New Jersey guy on the front lawn, bitching about everything.
right.
Hated everybody in his family.
Right.
Was suicidal, he was this manic character.
Are you familiar with Sex, Death, and Rock and Roll? Because I think
that was the first one.
I think that was his breakout one.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway.
So you're telling me this. What would you have told me at Pappas if you had done this?
I would say this is a play with a series of vignettes based on my newspaper columns, in which I tell stories and characters bring actors bring characters to life, strung together with music to help change the mood and move the stories along.
The pictures
along.
Were unbelievable, too.
And augmented by very large images at the back of the stage.
Things like this.
Stage.
Iconic things to Baltimore, literally.
Yeah. So you take all those elements, and it's a multimedia show. It's a musical. I call it a musical play because the music is integral to threading together the scenes and changing the mood. Because we go from, you know, comic scenes to pretty serious stuff, and that's how I envisioned it. And I think I've stumbled upon a formula that's kind of unusual for theater. Most people who go to theater more than I do even say that they haven't seen this form before. Okay, newspaper guy telling his own stories, playing himself with
See, for me, it was Springsteen. Did you see the Springsteen?
Well,
Springsteen on Broadway?
Yeah, but no, I've only seen clips of it. But
okay,
he
wrote a book about his life.
Yeah, I understand.
I read the book.
Yeah.
I went with my wife, who didn't read the book.
Yeah.
We went up to New York. She sat there and bawled like a baby because all the stories were first time.
Right.
She didn't know the stories. Same thing was true about seeing you.
Right.
She didn't know your column. She didn't know those stories.
Right.
The woman who called the newsroom, I sort of remember working there, you know, like the woman that would call you and say, I lost my son. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Lula Key. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember pieces of your life in the way that would, if you were Springsteen, but the way it was told by you and the way you, how did that happen in the cabin up in West Virginia? Like, writing all of this, finding a pianist, finding a music, like the thing I was so struck by is you could write this, but to bring it to life.
Yeah.
Just for one weekend, I feel cheat. You're cheated if you didn't see it, audience. I'm telling you right now.
Some people have said, why was it only a 3-performance run? It's not really a run. It's only 3 performances. I didn't know whether this would work, and I put up my own money to produce it. I didn't have backers or investors. I wasn't, you know, Max Bialystock. You know, I didn't do that. I didn't get old ladies on couches and get them to write checks.
Springtime.
Yeah.
Springtime for Rogers.
Yeah, no. So I didn't know whether to be successful or not. So we made a conservative schedule of only 3 performances. And I wanted to see how it went. And I didn't know
How did it go?
It was great. I mean, it was so thrilling. The response has been kind of overwhelming, really.
I told you I was going to slobber on you, and Will couldn't make it. You want to give a little love to Will? Because Will was my producer of my TV show, right?
Is that right?
1998, I did a TV show with Lawrence Taylor and Buddy Ryan.
Oh.
We shot it at Sheffield. Will was a saint to me.
I didn't know. He's
taught me
a great
how to do
producer.
Television.
Will Schwartz. We're talking about Will Schwartz, who created Roderick's for Breakfast, the show I had on Channel 2 before you did that.
From the Kitschy Kitchen.
Yeah. Right. That was all of Will Schwartz. And anyway, I've known Will since the 80s when he was a sports producer at WBAL, when he worked with Chris Thomas, Vince Bagley.
I didn't know he worked with Chris and Vince. I never knew that.
Yeah, that's when I first met him. And he's had a whole life as a video producer, and he's never done
stage.
So this was his debut as a director. And I said, Will, I've always counted on him. He's like a rabbi to me. I've always counted on him to tell me, does this work? Does that work? Is this appropriate? Or is that not appropriate? What's the zeitgeist? You know, he's really, really a cool guy, Will Schwartz.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Yeah. Yes.
So he came along. His sister, it turns out, is in theater, runs the Chicago Shakespeare Theater, and came to the BMA last year to scout out that great theater. It's an underutilized theater in Baltimore.
I didn't know it was there.
A lot of people don't know that the Meyerhoff, I call it the Little Meyerhoff, because it's the Meyerhoff Auditorium.
How many seats in there? 400?
360.
Okay, all right.
366.
Okay.
It's the Meyerhoff Auditorium at the Baltimore Museum of Art. It really is a theater. They shouldn't call it an auditorium. I told them, I've already written to them and say, I think you should call this a theater. This is not an auditorium. It's nice. It's very comfortable. Anyway, so Will bought in, and then Matt Lane, who is the son of Mike Lane, the late Mike Lane, who was a cartoonist of the Evening Sun, the editorial cartoonist.
I knew that name. Okay.
Yeah. He is a gifted musician I've known since he was a teenager, and actually I brought him onto my old radio shows to play.
So you had him in mind.
Yeah.
You had Will in mind, too?
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't have done this without these people.
I needed a director. I couldn't do it myself. I ended up directing a bit because this is my script, right? But I turned it over to Will and Matt, and I said to Matt, I want original music in this thing, and I want you to write it. I want to work on a song with you, a Baltimore song. And we ended up coming up with that song, Oh Baltimore, which I think is pretty good. I was surprised how
good
that is.
It's not Good Morning Baltimore, different Baltimore.
It's a different, and we're going to record that and put out a video of just the song.
Did you video the show?
Okay, so that's another thing.
You did not, did you?
It's a rough one-camera video. What I wanted to do was get the thing on stage, do it right, focus on that, and not focus on other things, which means three or four cameras and good audio. I didn't want to produce a half-ass video and put it out to the public. So we're going to stage the play again in April, I think, maybe March or April, and then again in December. So we're going to have two more runs in the coming
year. Oh, see? Is that breaking news? You already broke that story.
No, I haven't.
Thank you.
I already decided it.
I'm glad that you're doing that, because that was going to be my ask of you, is that I'm going to bring friends. I might even tailgate, Rodericks. I mean, I might be a little, I might have two or three in me by the time I get in there.
Oh, okay.
Because I went back to see Springsteen on Broadway three times.
Did you really?
Yeah, because, the second time I saw it led to the third, because he rewrote it. Mm-hmm. So this would be you 5 years from now, deciding that you're going to, Lulu's a great character, but you're going to have two or three new pieces or the things that hit the cutting room floor that didn't make it, right?
Well, here's the thing. With all those columns I've written over the years, there's more stories that I could dramatize that I didn't put into this. And I have, it seems to me the potential for, I don't know what you'd call it, sort of stories in repertoire, stories serialized, different productions would have different titles and different courtrooms, for instance. I've been in courtrooms, so many courtrooms over the years, and seen so many interesting things that I could easily write a play based on courtroom scenes alone. So I'm going to do that. You know, same format. With music.
When did you start
video.
This? When was the seed? The Boghossian thing hit you. You're doing radio at YPR.
Boghossian was years ago.
No, but what's the day that you said, I'm going to start to write a screenplay? Yeah. And I'm thinking it was a snowy day. You're sitting off the Savage River. There's no fish to catch, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. I see you as sort of Jack Torrance, you know, up there in the mountains, all work and no play makes Dan a dull boy. You know what I mean?
Like,
that's what I'm seeing, Dan.
Here's
Don't let
Johnny.
Me down.
I wrote it about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, I think. And I ran it by Will. And I said, Will, what do you think of this? He says, I think you can pull this off. I don't think it's... He thought he had confidence that I could stand on the stage for a while and hold.
You have acted, yes, many times.
Yeah. So in the years I've been in Baltimore, I've actually done some Gilbert and Sullivan operetta. I actually sang.
I thought of the reason I would bring this up is my radio station's up in a neighborhood off Providence Road. I don't know right. if you've ever been to the station.
Yeah,
been
years again. Ago. Not a long time.
So in that neighborhood, our former boss. Jack Lemmon.
Yeah, he lived near
there. Around the corner. And yeah. In 1986, I joined the paper.
All right.
Maybe 86 or 87.
Right.
There was a party he would throw every year in the spring or in the fall.
It was Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest, because he's German. So every year, but there was a pool. I remember, we didn't get in the pool now that I remember because it was cold. Right. And one of the fellas in the newsroom had a band, and he would come out, and they would play classic rock. Bam, 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 bam,
Tom
bam,
Osborne. Bam.
Yeah, so it was all classic rock like that. And there was a point, and I didn't know you well. I knew you from TV. And I don't want to embarrass, but I've always idolized you, right?
Oh,
so seeing this thing on stage last week, you inspired me, right? So this is 1986, 87. I'm at 17, 18 years old. I don't know you well, but I know I want to know you because you're what I wanted to be, like a columnist in the same way, like being a sports columnist. And now I do more of the real world as I've gotten old like you.
Right.
But you did some dramatic thing at the pool that day or reading.
I did a Springsteen imitation 1 year.
This was a year you might have done a Don DeNaldo, or you did it was something very operatic. Like Don DeNaldo was like an Italian like thing, right?
Yeah, I can't remember. I was part
but
of
I
the
remember you sort of being thespian oriented.
Ham.
Right, okay. And I learned more about your father and your mother and the fire, and like I don't want to wreck the play for everybody. But I learned so much about you last week that I didn't know, but I thought when I saw you up there, I'm like, oh, Dan's was in My Fair Lady or West Side Story when he was in high school. Like, I thought that...
I was in Fiddler on the Roof in high school.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
And, you know, for a time there, I thought about... Because the reaction to my high school performance, I was 18, you know, was so amazing. I thought, maybe I should pursue this. But I didn't. You know, I became a journalist. I love journalism.
I was in Pippin. You know, I was in My Fair Lady. I mean, I had a lead role in Oliver at Colgate Elementary School, you know, saying, consider. But if I had to get up and do that, that's hard, man.
Yeah.
Remember lines. Hard.
Yes. Thank God my wife, Lillian, helped me with it.
You had notes, though, right? Were you were reading off your notes a little bit, or are you just pretending to up on stage?
No, there's a little bit of shtick where I use a reporter's notepad to refer to things. But...
I would get such a cheat sheet for me.
Yeah, I know. You can't. You know what? You can't do that. You just.
You got to remember it.
People will see that you're using a cheat sheet. It'll look like a cheat sheet, and it won't work. It's got to get up here. And it's still in here. I mean, I could do the whole play for you right now if you wanted to. Yeah, yeah.
No, we're saving until March, April. They get in December.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a question.
Sure.
Since you know me.
Yeah.
We've known each other for a long time since you were in the Evening Sun newsroom. Yeah. Long time, was it weird to see me on stage?
Not at all. No. I keep going back to like Springsteen would be the thing I know the best because I've seen it on stage a couple of times. But
you don't know him, right? He's a celebrity, but you don't know him.
Right. You look very comfortable in doing it, but more than being in command of your own life and your own story was this brilliance of pictures, words, storytelling, characters, but the visual aid. It wouldn't have been the same without the beginning with this is Baltimore, this is Fadley's, these are the Orioles, this is the word.
It opens with like
this
a
is
music
the block,
video.
This is the harbor, this is Bertha's, this is Baltimore, right?
Well, I thought, in my head, I thought, I've worked in TV, and I thought, you know, why not use visuals? Why would you miss that opportunity, if you had it, to enhance a stage story with visuals, big images of Baltimore, there's a scene that takes place in the Lord Baltimore Hotel. So Will throws up on the screen this exterior night shot of the Lord Baltimore Hotel. It sets.
You know why I love that?
It creates an atmosphere.
I broadcasted from the Lord Baltimore Hotel for 3 years, 92 nights. So I walked through that lobby to those doors, up past the ballroom, around back to where my WLG studios were, which were two suites on the third floor.
Oh, yeah.
Right in the back.
Yeah.
And so when you met the lady who was connected to the local bookmaker and the mob, and like, and she's.
She was married to the mob.
Married to the mob. That the fact that that happened in this space really set me.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Baltimorean, dude. This is at. This is. Yeah. You know, and I not. No. And which is like even more fly in. You know?
Yeah, I have a different view of it. A different type of appreciation of it, I guess. But, you know, I thought the set, the row house set, and the images created this really unique environment for a play. And
I just thought it was brilliant. Yeah. I don't know what else to say. So. Dan Rodrick is here. Baltimore, you have no idea.
Yeah.
And I like your use of you have no idea throughout the play.
Yeah.
Dan is here. We're at Fadley's. It's all brought to you by friends at the Maryland Lottery. I get lost here. Goodwill and our friends at Window Nation. We will have crab cakes and fried oysters. It's the holidays. We're shipping all over the world. Dan, you'll be here to talk about that. And
okay.
So my wife, I want you to see it in a different
way. Was that the commercial break just then?
No, it's just, no. We can break if you need to pee.
No,
if you need to pee, you're getting older, Dan.
No, I'm just
if you can't hold it, I can let you pee.
No, I'm good.
All right.